Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. I have always thought that we shouldn't limit the definition of heroes and saints to only those who lived long before us. And I have often wondered, why do we share so many kind words about our loved ones in a eulogy, yet forget to show appreciation, love, and friendship while they are still with us? So when Father Bernard introduced the Lent series on the heroes of our faith and asked me to introduce a significant Estonian theologian, my first thought was a living person, the very Reverend Dr. Toomas Paul. He is 85 years old, and I have worked with him for about 20 years. He was one of my favorite guests on the radio program Prayer for the Day when I was the religious editor in public broadcasting. And not only my favorite, it's remarkable how some people can connect beyond their own community. Both Christians and non-believers respect him in Estonia, the country of my background as well. And it is difficult to say whether he is a liberal or conservative, left or right, as his message resonates with so many. Father Toomas was born at the beginning of the Second World War. His father was also a Lutheran pastor. But as you may know, human rights, especially freedom of speech and religion, were severely restricted during the Soviet era. His father, Pastor Arvet Paul, was arrested several times by the communist regime and spent years in prison. So Toomas comes from a time of communist persecution, something he experienced both as a member of church, as a pastor of the church, and through the cruelties of Soviet regime towards his own family. And being a priest in Soviet Estonia was not easy, to put it mildly. For example, by becoming a priest, they would have given up the right to a state pension, which of course has now been restored by the independent republic. Churches were constantly monitored by the KGB, the Russian Secret Service, and they tried to recruit priests as collaborators because much of the resistance to the Soviet regime was hiding in the church. Yes, there was officially a kind of freedom of belief, but church activities were reduced to Sunday services. No Christian books could be printed except a thin church calendar. No hymnals, no Bibles, no public youth work or mission. However, the church managed to establish a distance learning program for theological education, and Toomas was the professor of the New Testament there later. The seminary is now known as the Institute of Theology of the Estonian Evangelical Lutheran Church. So that's for background. And if I were to mention some more keywords about Toomas Paul, he was involved in the New Estonian translation of the Bible. He has always been open to and approachable to the media. I remember calling him once as a journalist to request an interview, and he replied, "Well, I have a baptism at 5 p.m. and another occasional service at 6 p.m., but let's do it at 5:30. He is known also for being respected in academic circles and often uses scientific literature to explain Christian thought. At the same time, he can express ideas in a very simple way. For instance, 30 years ago, he wrote a confirmation study book for adult learners, and that remains the best one available in Estonian language until now. It is based on questions that people often ask about faith, especially in modern world context. And one such question would be, does faith exclude critical thinking? And he answers, no, faith is not the same as gullibility. Faith is a conviction based on a person's ability to think and feel. Faith is more of a personal characteristic than the acceptance of certain things as truth. Or another question from the book for confirmation. What does prayer help against? And Father Thomas explains, prayer is a powerful weapon against the evil within us and around us. The best remedy against anger, despair, fear, and weariness. Prayer brings freedom. One must not endure any pain without immediately turning it into prayer. Every pain without God is poison. One should not be afraid of so-called self-acting prayer, words learned by heart that no longer require conscious thought because they have become so deeply embedded in us. These words must be spoken repeatedly to oneself when there is no strength left to think, when one feels at their limit, when one is already trying to endure the unbearable. When I think about Father Thomas, I should mention that people are particularly struck by his reflections, which often provide fresh insight into questions people have long wrestled with. Happiness, suffering, the purpose of life. For example, in one reflection published in a secular weekly newspaper, he wrote about our pursuit of happiness. And he writes, the goal of evolution was not to breed us into being in a constant state of euphoria. It has only one direct objective, and that is survival. We can congratulate ourselves. We are the winners. Every single one of us alive today has hit the jackpot, survival, passed down from generation to generation. The phrase, survival of the fittest, has multiple meanings. In the history of life's development, being fit no longer means being the strongest or even the most aggressive, but rather the most adaptable to the surrounding environment. Often this meant cooperation with members of one's own species, but also symbiosis between different species. And he concludes that happiness should not be seen as a separate goal, but rather as a context. Happiness arises when we understand what is important in life and act accordingly. We did not become the dominant species on Earth because we were the strongest, fastest, or even the smartest, but because we were the best at cooperation. That is why loneliness is so exhausting for us. Two things improve our well-being and bring positive emotions. Things that once needed no reminder. We need physical activity, and we should both avoid loneliness on ourselves and help others do the same. Avoid loneliness. And this paragraph is a great example of how he integrates evolutionary theory, anthropology, and his own Christian thinking. And turning to today's readings, I was pleased to find one of his reflections based on the gospel text that describes tragic events in Jesus' time. People ask Jesus if the tragic deaths were deserved. But Jesus turns the question into a call to obedience. And Father Thomas explains, this is a somber story. We have no explanation for why a person's fate turns out one way or another, why one prospers while other suffers. In Judaism, attempts were made to link specific sins to particular illness or misfortune, and cross-references suggested which sins could be associated with certain afflictions or disasters. But Jesus denies such a connection. Father Thomas notes that the relationship between suffering and virtue has troubled people throughout the ages, and that there is no rational answer. He reminds us that pain is a necessary sensation, warning us when something is wrong, such as when we place our hand on a hot plate. He says, we do not live wrapped in cotton wool, shielded from suffering, and perhaps even heartache is necessary to turn us away from sin. But he concludes by bringing Christ to the center. Even in the most bitter suffering, we need not feel abandoned, for Jesus, the Son of God, is beside us, and he can give us the strength to endure in our weakness to the very end, until his kingdom comes and his will is done.